This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was a day with a capital D, a capital A, and a capital Y. At times I was asking that question. However, whew, survive in advance, baby. Survive in advance. And now, here we are, blissfully, so blissfully 4 hours away from the weekend. Gosh, I don't even want to think about the weekend yet. I mean, I want to get to the weekend, but the weekend is, it's a whole nother animal. Itself, it's my last weekend before I leave for Cuba, so there's a lot to be done. However, there should be some sleep awaiting this weekend. Plus, it's a payday on Friday, which does generally tend to make things a whole lot easier. That's going to be me, except for I don't snore. I snort. I talk in my sleep. I do not snore. So figure that one out. Actually, don't spend any time thinking about it, please. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We almost made it. We're almost here. This is very exciting. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We're heading into a Friday the 13th. What? For those of you who are already awake on your Friday morning, I don't even know how you do it. I'd rather work overnights and just be up all day and all night than have to get up super early in the morning. That's not so good for me. However, for those of you who are up on a Friday morning and you're thinking about the weekend, just beware, you got to survive Friday the 13th. I know we were talking about superstitions on this show last night because I had brought heels with me to wear for the three meetings that I had during the day, Thursday. And Isaac really got nervous about my shoes. They were in a shoe box. They weren't just a pair of shoes, but my shoes in a shoebox sitting on the console next to me in one of our radio studios. And he swears that that is against the law. It's against the superstition laws.
You're welcome.
Anyway, that may be the reason why the traffic was so miserable in Manhattan during the day on Thursday. Or it could just be that it's Manhattan and the traffic is always miserable during the daytime. Anyway, I feel as though I survived unscathed, and I have told you multiple times in the past, and I'll just admit this does probably make me no fun whatsoever, but I am not superstitious. I do not believe in luck. I don't believe in jinxes. I don't believe in karma. Karma! But I do love to hear Antonio Brown yell about it, especially when
it's called karma.
We have the full story now. The big picture of the entire NFL season. So I thought, and Isaac thought, this was actually his idea, because I don't even bother with superstitions, but I thought that it would be fun to hear your most outrageous superstitions. So as we head into Friday the 13th, what outrageous superstitions do you set your clock by? Don't just make something dumb up, because I'll see right through you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, before we get to any baseball, because we had one division lead change hands on Thursday night, and before we tell you about our incredible guest, If you've already been on social media, well, then you cheated, but that's all right. Before we get to that, did you see what happened on Twitter on Thursday? This makes me laugh so much. And because I was in a bit of a fog for a good portion of the day, it didn't dawn on me. It didn't dawn on me until, I don't know, dinner time or something. And I know my dinner time is completely different than your dinner time. But it was one of those deals where I was kind of going through the social media of the day. And I was not really paying attention much until all of a sudden I saw the number of followers that I have. No, again, I don't pay that much attention. I know I'm getting close to 40,000. It doesn't mean anything to me. Whatever. It is what it is. 40,000 is nothing compared to Ronaldo's 122 million on Facebook. So, you know, it's all relative. But I looked at my Twitter follower number and thought, wait a minute. Am I seeing things? Or did I say something really offensive? Which, considering the fact that I hadn't actually been on Twitter most of the day. And then I thought, oh, it was the video version of Ask Amy Anything, wasn't it?
Oh, no!
People thought I was a total spaz and decided that's it. We can't follow her anymore. That must have been what it was. If you haven't seen it, by the way, it's on our YouTube channel, our featured video of the week. Although I kind of feel like our guest should bump that. Tonight's guest might actually bump that off of featured video, but whatever. So all of these things, as I'm trying to process them, going, maybe I'm seeing this wrong. And then I realize, yes, in fact, in the course of not even 12 hours, I dropped 400 followers on Twitter, roughly. Again, I wasn't counting the number. I just happened to see it went from 39.7 to 39.3.
Google it.
And so I thought, well, that's odd. Because I hadn't been on Twitter much, but I don't know that I said something that was extremely offensive, but maybe I did. And then...
Nah.
Right, that's exactly it. Nah. Then I started seeing people tweeting about Twitter. And I saw this. Big Twitter accounts see... Sorry, my internet right now. I wanted to read it specifically because it's a great headline from Variety. Now my internet has agreed to cooperate. And this is 2018. I do work for CBS. Big Twitter accounts see follower numbers drop after fake user purge.
Halo Radio.
There was a fake user purge. Hashtag Twitter purge. Oh my gosh, this is so great. So Twitter went through and eliminated a bunch of locked user accounts. I don't even know what that means. Just Twitter alone shed 7.5 million fake accounts. How about that? Twitter, from its own primary account, at Twitter, shed 7.5 million fake accounts to drop 12% on Thursday. How about that for a nerd alert? Oh my gosh. Singer Katy Perry, who's the most followed account on Twitter, lost 1.5 million followers. But also Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Ellen DeGeneres, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, all of them saw hundreds of thousands of Twitter accounts get purged off of their total. So in other words, there are a lot of fake followers, not real peeps. I knew some of you were fake. Here's some other ones. The president, who enjoys Twitter, saw his follower count drop by about 300,000. But listen to this. Compare that to the last president. Barack Obama lost 2.1 million Twitter followers. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? And I'm sure that, actually, I guess I shouldn't assume anything, but you wouldn't think that the president and the former president would notice on a daily basis how many followers there are. But Twitter's making this change to try to boost its credibility. I'm using credibility in my air quotations to try to boost its credibility and improve its transparency. And this is my favorite line of the entire Variety article. Quote, the majority of Twitter users will see a reduction of 4 followers or fewer. So most Twitter accounts out there lost 4 followers or fewer. So please, Isaac and Chris, will you go to your Twitter accounts and find out how many Twitter followers you lost? Wait, do you guys keep count? Like, there's no way Isaac keeps count on how many Twitter followers he has. I can see Chris doing that. Did you check our show account to find out how many Twitter followers we lost?
We're in good shape.
We didn't lose any?
I don't think we lost. I think we gained some, actually, because of the video.
The majority of Twitter users will see a reduction of 4 followers or fewer. Chris, how many Twitter followers did you lose?
Personally, I lost. It was a big blow. I lost 1.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So locked accounts, essentially the accounts that Twitter has deemed to be either offensive or fake. The ones that are burner accounts that Twitter has flagged, they purged them. So they got rid of them. Meaning a lot of these accounts were still out there and live, even though they were locked. So even though whoever it was that was running them couldn't access them and couldn't use them, they were still Twitter accounts. And so they were still followers. But many of them are bots. How many times have we seen the porn bots just go nutso, right? Or a bunch of eggs. So a lot of these accounts were either deemed not real, run, you know, by one person en masse, or to be offensive and to be used as burner accounts. And so...
it's called Sex Panther.
Ew. And so Twitter decides to get rid of these and clean them up. And the majority of users only lost 4 followers. But Katy Perry saw a drop of 1.4%. About 1.5 million. That is, I'm glad I'm not Katy Perry. Anyway, hashtag Twitter purge, your best jokes now on Twitter if you're real. If you're fake,
change your mind.
We've got you figured out. And by we, I mean me and Twitter. So I lost 400, but the majority of Twitter users lost 4 or fewer. That's so good. Chris lost 1. He's feeling pretty high on his hog right about now. All right, one division in Major League Baseball changes hands. At the top, it's the first division lead of the year for a team that you know well. We'll get to that next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hard ground ball, base hit into left field. Cole scores. Hernandez on his way home, and he is out. From here to San Juan Capistrano. Good throw by Will Myers. Cole scores. Lines one into right field for a base hit. Coming on home and scoring is Forsythe, who is pinch running for Utley. Arriving at third base is Kemp. Third run of the seventh. A fly ball. Short right. In is Hernandez, and the Dodgers, after 93 games, are alone at the top in the National League Western Division. For the first time this season, the Dodgers at 51-42 are in first place all by themselves.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Charlie Steiner with the calls from the Dodgers victory on the road against the San Diego Padres. How about that? The Dodgers were 9 games back in the National League West on May 8th. 2 months later, they have eliminated that 9-game deficit and stand at the top of the West Division. What? I love that about Major League Baseball. Because there's 162 games, because the season goes forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, there are opportunities to either steadily chip away, rise to the top, even if you're 9 or 10 games back, or the opposite could be the case. So here are the Dodgers with winners in 7 of their last 10, now at 51-42. It's not been perfect all the time. They still have guys who are injured, but Kenley Jansen settling into a really nice groove after a rocky start. The bats coming alive. Justin Turner getting healthy. Clayton Kershaw getting healthy. This team, to me, very similar to the Houston Astros. Now, the Astros haven't shown a whole lot of weaknesses this year. But on paper, what I like about the Dodgers is they have a lot of different guys who can contribute. And they've got depth in their pitching staff. Now, injuries certainly take away from that. And they admitted themselves that coming out of spring training and getting into the 2018 season off of last year's World Series appearance, remember they lost in Game 7 to the Astros in L.A., but having gotten back to the World Series for the first time since 1988, there were nerves. They felt a little bit of pressure. Look where we were. But here we are starting all over again. And they didn't play well. And for a while, it didn't matter how great the starting pitching was. They could not get a timely hit or drive home the guys who were on base. A lot of guys started slow. But here they are. Climbing, 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 climbing. And it helps that the Arizona Diamondbacks, who started out with a torrid pace atop the NL West and have gone through some pretty incredible stretches of their own, have come back to the pack. Now, the division is far from sewn up. It's far from locked up. The top four teams in the division, in fact, every team in the division that's above 500 is separated by just 3 games total. And that's the kind of division race that I'm all in for during the dog days and then dumping us on into September. So the Dodgers have a half-game lead on the Diamondbacks. We'll try to get some post-game reaction from San Diego. Again, this was a game on the road for the Dodgers. They took 3 of 4 in San Diego against the last-place Padres. Dodgers up by a half-game on the Diamondbacks. Then you've got Arizona, just 1 game out in the loss column. The Rockies, who got a big home run from Trevor Story on Thursday. And the Giants are 3 games out. But for the first time all year, the Dodgers have clean air. For those of you who love racing, specifically NASCAR, they've got clean air on their front grill. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've been reading more about the Twitter purge, so I'll pass along some more of the interesting facts. It's a lot to do with companies out there who are selling fake accounts in bulk so that different Twitter users can then boost their numbers and look like they have more influence than they do. Oh my gosh, there's so much about social media that's fake, and this is one more thing. So Twitter has locked a lot of accounts and finally purged those. And if I didn't make myself clear during the first segment, what I was saying is that the Twitter account itself, at Twitter, lost 7.5 million followers. So it's not like Twitter was immune to this. Now, oh, by the way, you can find me on Twitter if you're real. If you are a real person and you have real thoughts and real emotions to share, well, then you can find me, A-Law Radio, also on our real Facebook account. Apparently, now I don't know if this is true or not because I haven't seen it happen yet, but a couple of you have told me that Facebook's about to go through the same thing where they're about to purge some of their locked accounts and dubious accounts and potentially fake and bot accounts. I just say get rid of the porn because I seriously, it's so annoying when those accounts pop up and they go through these mad rushes. I mean, literally, where you'll get like dozens of them all at once. And I block them all. It's been my goal since I started here at CBS Sports Radio to block every single porn account that I possibly can. So every single one that pops up, I literally block it. Not just mute it, but actually block it. So I'm contributing to the Twitter purge by blocking those of you who are not real.
Inappropriate.
Thank you. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, as we head into a Friday the 13th, what's your most outrageous superstition? And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox continue to set this torrid pace. I got a Facebook message because this is how my friends in Cuba communicate with me. I got a Facebook message from my friend Camilo, who's a huge Red Sox fan, in all capitals, "Vamos Red Sox!" with like 5 exclamation points after the fact. He watches the game. They watch the games. I think they watch them online if they possibly can, but it's not a great connection. They don't have Wi-Fi. What they have is an office in the one house where they all live. And so they try to follow the Red Sox that way. Anyway, it's late. It's on delay. It's not like it's happening live. So I frequently get Facebook messages hours after the Red Sox have won, but they did in fact win again. Now 10 games in a row. And here are the Red Sox at 66-29. We're about to take the All-Star break. So the All-Star break starts on Sunday. If the Red Sox would win out, I don't know if they will. If the Red Sox would win out before they take their All-Star break, they've got 3 games left against the Toronto Blue Jays. And these are all at Fenway Park. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday to wrap up a 4-game series against the Blue Jays. They could be at 69 wins. 69 wins at the All-Star break. I'm certain that we'll get some pretty cool nerd alerts coming out of the way that these 4 teams, not just the Red Sox, and I know the Mariners have fallen back a little bit, but the way that the teams in the American League have just torn it up in the first half, because the Astros are at 62 wins and the Yankees are at 61. And so these 3 teams, Mariners not that far behind at 58 wins, just awesome. And it sets us up for what could be some major postseason drama in October. Actually, in September, too, vying for position. And that leads me perfectly into our guest for tonight's show. It's not live, but we had the chance to sit down in studio on Thursday with one of the most iconic Yankees of all time. Bernie Williams is a 4-time World Series champion. He's a Gold Glover. He's an All-Star. He's an accomplished musician, and maybe you missed it, but he performed the national anthem on his guitar at the Eastern League All-Star Game in Trenton, New Jersey on Wednesday night. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, I found the YouTube video of it. It's awesome. He's so good. And after that, then he threw out the first pitch. So he was in the New York area, or he was in Trenton, he was in New Jersey, and he was doing interviews on Thursday, so we had a chance to sit down with him in studio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Had some time that we had to spend in studio on Thursday afternoon. But it was totally worth it to be out of the routine and out of the schedule because Bernie Williams was roaming the hallways. And so we had a chance to sit down with the 4-time World Series champion, the former Gold Glove and All-Star. He roamed center field for the Yankees for a couple of decades and is one of the most beloved to ever wear the pinstripes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So got a chance to sit down with him in studio. And of course, the first thing that I wanted to talk to him about was this crop of Yankees. So I asked him, Bernie, what's it like for you to see these young Yankees doing so well and making an impact?
It is very exciting to see them do so well. I mean, it reminds me so much of the time that I was playing back in the mid to late 90s. especially the teams in 96 and 98, 99. This team kind of reminds me a little bit of them, you know, the excitement on the in the clubhouse and the fact that, you know, they're winning and they're leaning on each other. And it's a cool thing to watch.
Yes, a completely different generation, but still the Yankees. And you mentioned playing in the late 90s, Bernie. So when things were going well and you were a team that was contending for world titles, what was it like to be out there in center field with those passionate fans?
Oh, my God, it was great. Playing in New York, I mean, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. That's what they say. And playing in New York as a professional athlete, especially for the Yankees, such a challenging thing to do. Not necessarily on what happens on the field, but all the distractions and all the, you know, the media attention and everything that comes into play. You need special players, and you need a really tight clubhouse. And I think, you know, back in those days, we had that camaraderie and that passion, and everybody was kind of having this sort of attitude that they were playing for something bigger than themselves, you know, for their teammates and for the organization that has, you know, had this great tradition of excellence, you know, over the years.
One of the neat things about this Yankees team is that there are a lot of young guys who are just figuring it out for the first time. So if you were a member of this Yankees locker room, Bernie, and you're trying to help them get accustomed to what they face in New York and how the fans might act, how the media might react to the team, what advice would you give them?
I would say do what I did, shut up and play. that's what it comes down to. It's a lot easier to do your talking on the field with your actions and your bat and your defense and performing rather than being vocal, you know. But there are players that are going to be, you know, obviously voicing their opinions and things like that. You just got to make sure that they back everything up with what they do on the field. It's really interesting because this game nowadays has changed with the advent of social media. Players don't necessarily need anybody else kind of like promoting them. They can do it themselves. And, you know, once you start reaching out to your Instagram and Facebook and old Twitter and got all these followers, it adds a little bit of a different dimension to the game other than actually playing the game itself. I think that has sort of a big has been one of the biggest changes that I've seen, you know, in the last maybe 5 to 10 years.
Oh, I agree. It's a huge change in my own career as well, because when I first started in the sports broadcasting industry, there was no social media. So in your opinion, is it a positive or is it a negative, Bernie?
I don't think either. I think it's just different. And I think, you know, as everything that evolves and, you know, obviously baseball has had to evolve over the years, I think players have to make the adjustments. I think you're going to play to your personality. If you're going to be vocal, you're going to have definitely a vehicle to do that a lot easier than in the past. But if you're quiet, you know, there's still room for that in the game as well. And the one thing that makes this game great is that there's no set way of being successful. You can go about it in any way you can, in any way you know how, and still have success in playing this game. So that's, you know, to me, that was the cool thing about playing.
We're pleased to have the great Bernie Williams with us in studio after hours on CBS Sports Radio, a four-time world champ, a gold glover, an all-star, also a great musician. So, Bernie, one of the neat things about this particular baseball season is that the top of the American League East is an incredible race between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and there are still a bunch of games to go between these two teams. At the heyday of this rivalry, when you were a part of it, how would you describe it?
I think they're great for the game. It's really interesting that we have two managers in their, you know, I believe is in their first year, and going and leading their teams into such tremendous seasons. The Red Sox can't seem to lose any games, nowadays. Yankees are, you know, following them, their footsteps, and it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen down the stretch. You know, obviously the Yankees have had this knack of getting the right moves at the right time, you know, in the trading deadline and making sure that they have a really competitive team down the stretch. Obviously what they did last year had set a lot of great expectations for the team. Being just one game away from the World Series last year has set this great expectations for this team for this year. So they're not sneaking on. They're not sneaking on anybody right now. Hopefully they'll keep playing strong, you know, through the rest of the season and have an opportunity to play in the postseason.
After Thursday night's play, the Red Sox are 66-29, and the Yankees are just 3.5 games back. An incredible pace these two teams have set, along with the Houston Astros. Bernie Williams, longtime Yankee center fielder, an all-star, a gold glover, a four-time champion, with us here in studio after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So these days, when you Google the name Bernie Williams, it's not just baseball that pops up. It's also music. And you had the opportunity to play the national anthem at the Eastern League All-Star Game in Trenton on Wednesday night. What's that like to be in front of a crowd for a completely different reason than an at-bat on a big stage or a catch out in the outfield?
It's pretty interesting. I think that... It takes a little bit of a learning curve because as a baseball player, the attention kind of gets on to you at some points, but not necessarily the whole time. I mean, you have when you hit, you know, obviously the attention is on you when you play defense and maybe just run the bases. But it's mostly kind of shared through the whole team. If you have an opportunity to just be like in the spotlight doing something completely different in a baseball stadium, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking at times, but that could be really exciting and really cool, obviously, if you put the work into it. So playing the anthem is like, I see it like having, you know, the chance of maybe just hitting a free throw with no time left and you've been down by one point or whatever. You have done it many, many times, but when it really counts, there's no second time. You have to do it perfect. So that puts a little bit of a pressure on the performance, but that's why I kind of like play it constantly. So I don't really have to think about it too much when I play it live.
Well, I've heard it. It's on YouTube. It sounded great. But what was that adrenaline rush like, first playing the national anthem and then throwing out the first pitch in Trenton?
Playing out the national anthem was pretty difficult there because I haven't played in a while. But you know, managed to have a solid performance. You know, trying to rattle the crowd. You know, to be excited about playing. You know, the All-Star game and throwing out the first pitch. You know, my main thing was that whatever I do, I can't bounce that thing. So it was great. I didn't bounce it, so I lived to fight another day.
That's awesome. Mission accomplished, Bernie. We're getting ready for the American League and National League to square off in the All-Star game again, this time Tuesday in D.C. I don't know if you remember your first time, but what did it mean to you to be an All-Star in Major League Baseball?
It was always an honor to be an All-Star. To me, it was a win-win situation any way that you looked at it. I mean, if you didn't get picked, you would go and spend some time with your family and have some a little bit of a you know, well-deserved break, you know, half of the season. And if you get picked, you go out there and kind of rub elbows with the best that baseball had to offer, you know, and half point through the season, you know, get to, you know, mingle with the fans and experience all that love and admiration. And being picked as one of the best players in the league, it's always a great honor. So I never really took it for granted. It was always a great thing for me.
Something else that was unique about you that I appreciated as a fan, and it's not quite as common anymore, you spent your entire career with the New York Yankees. What does it mean to you that everything you accomplished in Major League Baseball happened in that one uniform for that one team?
I think being with the Yankees my whole career has opened a whole new world of possibilities, you know, postseason. I mean, not postseason, but post-career-wise has been just a great thing for me to be associated with this great organization over the years. And now, you know, this great opportunities with charitable endeavors and music things and community service and all that has been basically a great thing in my, you know, post-Yankee career. And just a lot of it due to the fact that I remain a Yankee for my whole career.
Certainly is a bonus when an athlete has the chance to do that. You mentioned charitable endeavors, and I've had a chance to look at the website, Breathless IPF, watch the video. I know it's something that's really near and dear to your heart. Why is this a partnership that's important to you?
I decided to team up with Bear Ringer Engelheim in this breathless campaign, raising awareness for IPF, which is idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, because of my dad. My dad suffered from the condition and eventually passed away from IPF in 2001. And he was my superhero. He was the guy that introduced me to baseball and music, and profound influence in my life. And just to pay tribute to his memory and how important he was in my life, I decided to do this community service and make people aware of the fact that IPF is a real disease. Numbers are there. And to encourage people to seek medical assistance and go to the physician if they find themselves suffering from some of the symptoms of IPF, which are, dry, persistent cough that doesn't go away, your fatigue and being tired, unusually tired, and things that you kind of take for granted, like, walking a flight of stairs or hiking, things that, kind of like you can kind of like confuse them with maybe just having a bad cold or COPD or asthma or pneumonia. But there's certain markers that are specific for IPF and the disease. It's a terminal disease. It's a 3 to 5 years on average lifespan once you get diagnosed with it. And we're trying to encourage people to get the help that they need and try to get assistance. Your physician will refer you to a lung specialist that will determine whether or not you have IPF. And the earlier that you get diagnosed with the condition, your chances of having an improved life, quality of life are greater. So I think it's really important for people to know.
The website is breathlessipf.com. And I like that in big letters, it says hope and awareness, because who is not looking for hope in his or her life? Bernie Williams, a four-time world champion, an all-star, a gold glover, now an accomplished musician. It is so great to catch a couple of minutes with you in studio. Thank you so much for stopping by.
It was a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Really cool. As someone who grew up watching baseball in the Northeast as a kid, in fact, my first baseball game in person that I ever attended was in Cleveland, but my second one was at the old Yankee Stadium. And Bernie Williams is just, he was part of the Yankee tradition for a couple of decades and meant so much to that franchise and to the fans out there in center field. And of course, is highly decorated, but most impressively is not just baseball. And then that's the neat thing about sitting down with him. So kind and gracious, but he's about raising awareness for this rare lung disease. He's been nominated for the Latin Grammys. He has helped to set a Guinness Book of World Records for a record from that book for the number of people blowing a bubble in the same place at the same time. I mean, this guy is, he's much more than just the pinstripes and center field. So it's awesome to catch up with Bernie Williams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.